A logo appears in bold slanting letters over a blue planet in space. Turner. Now, a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Titles appear over a view of New York's night skyline. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents The Courtship of Eddie's Father, starring Glenn Ford as Tom Corbett and Shirley Jones as Elizabeth Martin. This film is described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Paula Brassard and Carrie Danahy. Read by Carla Hardaway. Major funding provided by the U.S. Department of Education. More titles. Co-starring Stella Stevens as Dolly Daly, Dina Merrill as Rita Behrens, Roberta Sherwood as Mrs. Livingston, and Ronnie Howard as Eddie, also with Jerry Van Dyke. Music score by George Stahl, The Rose and the Butterfly by Victor Young and Stella Unger. Director of Photography, Milton Krasner, ASC. Copyright 1963. Art direction by George W. Davis and Yuri McCleary. Set decoration by Henry Grace and Keo Gleason. Special visual effects by Robert R. Hogue, ASC. Film editor, Adrian Faison, ACE. Assistant director, William McGarry. Costumes designed by Helen Rose. Hairstyles by Sidney Guilleroff. Makeup by William Tuttle. Assistant to the producer, Irving Aronson. Recording supervisor, Franklin Milton. Screenplay by John Gay. Based on the novel by Mark Toby. Produced by Joe Pasternak. Directed by Vincent Minnelli. Now our nighttime view parts to reveal the city at dawn.
Wake up, Manhattan. Come out of that warm, rosy dream. Open those big, luscious eyes and meet a new, exciting day. I'm talking to you, ravishing, delicious, madcap girl still in that warm, cozy bed. Now, what you need is a nice, hot cup of coffee. Bentley coffee, of course.
In a kitchen, a coffee pot boils on a stovetop.
That tantalizing blend that makes the senses reel and the pulses tingle.
Look out!
A man reaches for the pot.
Burn those delicate, sensuous fingers. Why, if anything should happen to those wild, impetuous hands, Jones would be heartbroken. Oh,
the man cooks eggs.
She hurt herself. Don't cry. Old Norm here will fix it. There now. Doesn't that feel better?
The rugged featured man switches off a radio. He wipes his hands on a towel, gives a frustrated frown, then throws down the towel. Turning to a small roll of notepaper mounted on a cabinet, he writes the words, "Stop Norm," tears off the note, and pockets it. He lets in a milkman.
Good morning, Mr. Corbett.
Oh, good morning,
You forgot to leave a note.
What?
Do you want your milk cut down to a quart a day now?
Well,
I suppose we try a quart and we'll feel it out from there.
Right, fine. That's a good idea.
Mr. Corbett finishes setting the breakfast table and strides through his apartment, his tanned 30-something face flustered.
Eddie?
He opens a bedroom door.
Breakfast ready.
He steps into a master bedroom and searches a dresser drawer and jewelry case. Finding a cufflink on a valet stand, Tom glances across the bedroom.
Eddie?
The adjoining bedroom is empty.
Aw, come on now, Eddie.
Tom looks at the rumpled bedsheets, then glances around. Toy trucks sit on a dresser top. Award ribbons, photos, and a mask decorate a bulletin board. Tom checks a bathroom, then returns to the master bedroom. A round lump under the blankets catches his eye. He cocks his head and approaches. Sitting on the mattress, Tom reaches over and sweeps off the blankets and sheet in one motion, revealing the 7-year-old boy, Eddie, curled up in red and white pajamas. The red-headed boy turns, his freckled face stretches in a yawn.
Hi. And what are you doing right here?
Sleeping.
Yeah, I know. I can see that. This happens to be my bed, you know. When'd you crawl in here?
Last night. I got cold.
Are you mad at me?
Why should I be mad at you? But you were never much of a one for bed hopping, you know. All right, come on now. We don't want to be late our first day back at school now, do we, huh? Hmm?
Do I have to clean my teeth?
Betcha. Teeth, face, and hands.
Oh, by the way, Eddie, when's the last time you took a bath?
I had a hole in Aunt Judy's. I mean from top to bottom.
That was 2 days ago, wasn't it?
You don't know how clean I got. Aunt Judy put something in the water that took off all my tan.
All the dirt, you mean?
No, tan, Dad. When you get that clean, you look all pink and skinny. I hate myself.
Now, we'll hate yourself later. Get into that bathroom. Come on, now, let's move, huh?
Eddie grabs a pair of stained pants.
Hey, Dad, you're not a husband anymore, are you?
Eddie, you can't wear those trousers to school. Now, you out of your mind?
It's only finger paint, Dad. The teacher knows what it is. She knows it ain't dirt.
Put them down.
Okay.
He ambles into a bathroom.
Dad?
Yeah?
Bobby Wheeler don't brush his teeth every day.
So what?
Well, he's got more teeth left than I do.
Look, never mind Bobby Wheeler. You just...
Tom notices ink drawn around Eddie's wrist.
What's this?
A watch.
Tom rubs the marking with a wet rag, but the ink stays.
It's indelible. It's got to wear off. Dad?
Yeah?
You didn't tell me about the husband part.
Huh? No, I'm not a husband anymore.
Oh.
You just get yourself dressed or you're not going to get any breakfast. Now, come on, let's go, Eddie.
Eddie turns back to his toothbrush.
Okay, Dad.
Later at school, Tom leads Eddie through a crowd of youngsters.
I'll be here to pick you up right at lunchtime, okay?
Okay.
You better pull your sleeve down, Eddie. No, the one over the wristwatch.
My shirt itches, Dad.
Oh, there's no reason for it to itch. It's one of your regular shirts. Matter of fact, that's the one that Mommy ironed.
Tom fixes Eddie's collar.
Eddie, don't fool around inside. I'll be here right at lunchtime.
Dad?
Yes?
Is Mommy really dead?
Tom's eyes drop under Eddie's earnest gaze.
Yes, Eddie, she is.
Gosh.
Eddie plods up a flight of stairs. Later, in an office, Tom steps from an elevator. Celebrity photos hang on the walls.
You may be right, Mr. Corbett.
Tom does a double take at a large headshot of a grinning man with a crew-cut haircut.
Mr. Corbett, how nice to have you back, sir.
Oh, thank you, Lee.
I can't tell you how shocked we all were, sir.
Well, that's very kind of you.
All the bad ones in the world and the good ones have to go.
How true.
Tom opens a door marked program manager.
Well.
Oh, Anne, would you come in for just a minute, please?
His secretary follows Tom to an inner office.
Oh, I'm not staying long. I want to pick up Eddie for lunch. I wear those letters you wanted me to sign.
They're in the top left drawer over there. I checked the housekeeper. She'll be reporting around noon. The agency recommended her highly, but you can never tell about these sleepouts.
Sleepouts?
Yes, she sleeps out.
Oh.
You know, you really ought to have a sleep in. It's a shame you don't have an extra bedroom.
Mm.
Oh, and just a little tip, Mr. Corbett. Stay close to her in the morning. See if she has a peppermint breath. The worst kind of those sneaky drinkers.
Yes.
I hate to bother you, Mr. Corbett, but we have 10 young ladies here with invitations to the Norman Jones show, but his control room's full already.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, can I ask them to come back some other time?
Yes, you do that.
Well, anyway, if I were you, Mr. Corbett, I just might keep an eye out on the washing machine. They usually hide the bottles in there.
Tom flips a switch on a wall
stunning
speaker.
Stunning redhead whispered to me, "Oh, Norm, hold me tighter."
Excuse me?
In a radio booth, Norm, the man with a crew cut, sits at a mic.
And now for you. For all you ravishing white collars, I dedicate this musical love letter.
Norm puts his feet up on a turntable unit. He's surrounded by five women admirers. Others crowd the neighboring control room. As Tom enters, the five nearest ladies scoot.
Captain! My captain! Are we off? The shepherd returns. Man, we've been nothing without you. Nothing.
Seems that you've been doing pretty well without me.
What? Oh, that.
Yeah. Norm, you know we do not have visitors on this show, right?
Not visitors, they're friends. Yeah. That one there on the left, the blonde, she won my last secret word contest.
What was the secret word? Yes?
That's funny.
Listen, Norm, we can't have women running in and out of this place like we're running a beauty contest. And that stuff on the air this morning with a coffee. I mean, what are you doing, seducing women on the air now?
Tom, I'm concerned about you. One sec. Jones in the morning. Who?
Oh, sure. Hi, you lover.
Sure, I met her.
Yeah. How about tomorrow night?
8 o'clock.
I'm concerned about you. You look terrible. Tired, worried. This whole thing has been hell for you. Look, why don't you relax for an evening? Try to forget. I happen to know this living doll. Great company. She lives on 72nd Street.
No.
A little harmless companionship.
No.
I'm only trying to help.
You and just about everybody else.
You're gonna make yourself sick. Take it from me, Tom, friend.
Norm flips a switch and returns to his seat at the mic.
Dearly beloved, listen closely.
Later in Tom's kitchen.
Am I going to be helping you all the time now?
No, as a matter of fact, the sleep-out housekeeper is gonna be doing most of the cooking. At least I hope so.
She'll sleep out?
Mm-hmm, yeah, she sleeps out.
Out where? Out of doors?
Well, no, she sleeps out of here.
Why? Are you mad at her?
How could I be mad at her? I don't even know her.
Will she be my stepmother?
Oh, come on now. Use your head, Eddie. I'd have to marry her for that.
Eddie sets out two placemats, then steps on a chair to reach a cabinet.
Eddie, what did the teacher say today?
About Mommy?
Yeah.
She didn't say nothing.
Well, then how do you know she knows?
Oh, she kissed me and she looked at me and she let me pass out all the papers. All that jazz.
What else did you do in school today?
Nothing much.
Come on now, Eddie. I'm sure you did something.
There was something I wanted to do, but I didn't.
Yeah, what was that?
Eddie holds a cup and saucer in his little hands.
I wanted to cry.
Tom turns a gentle gaze on his son, who faces away, cradling the cup and saucer. As Eddie reaches for plates, Tom answers the door. A sturdy, middle-aged redhead smiles at him, holding a case by its handle.
Mr. Corbett?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm very, very sorry. I was held up on that transfer at Times Square. Oh, nice.
Her gaze circles the room.
Yeah, well. We're going to get along just swell.
Fine.
Where's the boy?
He's in the kitchen right through here. We were just about to have lunch.
She sets the case on a countertop.
Oh, Eddie, this is Mrs. Livingston.
How do you do?
I'm fine, Eddie. Just fine. But you're too skinny. We'll take care of that, won't we? Now, you two sit down, and I'll get lunch for you in no time.
Eddie, you better wash your hands.
You mean because she's here?
No, because they're dirty.
Oh.
Eddie hops down and runs off.
Oh, a dishwashing machine, a garbage disposal. You better watch out, Mr. Corbett.
What for?
You better watch out for the floozies.
Floozies?
Why, there's women who would marry you this very minute for the equipment you have in this apartment.
Tom eyes the case.
Mrs. Livingston, would you mind telling me something? What is this thing for here?
That's my instant Spanish.
What?
It's a course I'm taking. You see, my daughter, she married a fella in South America.
I see.
And they've invited me down there for 6 months. Well, I want to know what he's saying about me. See? Only he won't know I know.
Very good.
Dad!
Yeah.
Can I get on to Joy's house for a minute?
No, you can't. Now, come on. You're going to have lunch, then you got to get right back
just
to school.
Just for 1 minute.
No. Why? What for?
I want to tell him the news. You know, the news that Mommy died.
Mrs. Livingston looks on with a frown.
Okay.
Eddie runs off.
Does he go around telling everyone like that?
No. I think Joy's the very first.
Later, in the hallway outside his apartment, Tom carries two paper bags in his arms. One holds groceries, the other two bottles. He unlocks the door and enters. Looking around quizzically, he spots Eddie sitting on his twin-sized bed watching TV.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Dad.
Porque esta la sopa en la lista de platos y no esta la cocina.
Tom listens at the kitchen door. He nudges it open with his backside and finds Mrs. Livingston's record player on the orange vinyl seat of his kitchen table.
No creo que pueda complacerla.
Usted es un mozo, esto es un café. La sopa es en la lista de platos.
Mrs. Livingston loads the dishwasher as Tom puts down the groceries.
Mozo quisiera sopa, carne, café, por favor.
Wow, buenas noches. I'm sorry I'm late.
It's all right. Eddie's had his dinner and he's watching television.
Look, I think I got everything on this list you gave
me. I had quite a talk with that woman today.
Hmm? What woman?
The one across the hall, Elizabeth Martin.
Oh.
She's a divorcee, Mr. Corbett. And if you don't mind some advice, I'd be very careful.
Very careful of what?
Well, you take a bachelor. He's out for one thing and one thing only, day in and day out, week in and week out, one thing only. That's your ordinary bachelor.
Mrs. Livingston, if that is ordinary, then I'm in a very bad way.
Well, suit yourself.
He unpacks the bottles.
Liquor won't solve a thing.
I'll get it.
He carries out the bottles, sets them on the dining room table, and crosses to the front door. He opens it. A bright-eyed woman with frosted blonde hair holds out a covered plate. She wears a nurse's uniform and white headband.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Is Eddie still up? I made some fudge, the kind he likes.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Elizabeth. I know he should be asleep, but he's still up. Oh, come in.
It's chocolate with nuts. It's his favorite.
Oh. I assure you that he will flip over it. Just sit down.
Oh, no, thanks. I can't stay. I just wanted to drop that off on my way to work.
Well, how about a drink, maybe? Just a short one?
No, thanks. My floor superintendent can detect one swallow at 30 yards. She really has it in for volunteer nurses. She thinks we're all out on some sort of social lark.
Well, you like the work, though.
It keeps me busy.
Hey!
Eddie hugs Elizabeth.
Elizabeth!
Hello, Eddie. How are you?
Elizabeth made you some fudge, Eddie.
Boy, has it got nuts?
It's riddled with nuts.
Wow! Can I have a piece now, Dad? Can I have two?
Why not? If you brush your teeth extra hard.
Boy!
And, Eddie, put your pajamas on, huh?
Tom, I just wanted to say how sorry I am. You know how close Helen and I were. I guess she was just about my best friend.
Yes, I know. Fact is, when I opened the door and saw you there, I kind of half expected to see Helen standing right alongside you. Minute there.
Tommy, if there's anything I can do, like sitting with Eddie at night, maybe, in case you might want to go.
Nah, we're all right. Eddie's going back to school now. We're getting back into the normal routine, and before you...
They race into Eddie's room. The little boy stares at a water-filled tank of goldfish. One of the fish floats limply at the surface. As Tom scoops it out with his hands, Elizabeth comforts Eddie. Mrs. Livingston hurries in, and Elizabeth waves harshly for her to go. Tom swings the shocked boy onto his bed. Eddie stares off, blinking back tears.
What's do with him, it, Dad?
No, it wasn't him. It was an it, and I flushed it down the drain, Eddie.
It's okay, Dad.
Oh, Eddie, please, you got to have a dozen other fish there. They're all alive.
Tom wraps his arms around Eddie, then takes a few steps away. As he paces, Elizabeth puts a robe around Eddie's shoulders and pries a piece of fudge from his clenched hand. She wipes his palm with a tissue, then cleans his face. The boy gapes, dull-eyed.
Eddie, you were thinking of your mother, weren't you, Eddie?
Tom's head whips around, his mouth tightens.
Weren't you, Eddie?
Looking on, Tom grimaces, then leaves. In the kitchen, Mrs. Livingston vigorously scrubs a counter. Tom gets out a bowl of ice and slams the freezer door, which rebounds open. In the dining room, ice spills as he drops a fistful of ice into a glass and pours himself a drink. The brown liquor sloshes onto the table. Tom glares sternly toward Eddie's room as he carries his glass across the apartment. By a balcony door, he faces away from the apartment and throws back a gulp. Tom swipes the back of his hand across his mouth and takes another drink. He whips around to face Elizabeth as she closes Eddie's bedroom door.
Tom, I think he's going to be all right now.
A fish is a fish.
Tom.
A fish is a fish, and his mother's his mother.
Isn't the point?
He doesn't even care about those damn fish. I have to tell him to feed him half the time. It just takes him about 2 seconds to give him a little
he
feed.
He needed to cry,
well,
Tom.
Well, let him cry according to the size of things.
It doesn't work that way.
Well, I don't agree. Look, if you're sad, you cry. You don't save up your tears and go to a sad movie, do you?
But we do. We all do.
Where do you think we get the tears we cry at a movie?
Tears for a mother cannot be the same as tears for a fish.
Tom, can't we talk about this calmly? I want to help so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you for your kind thoughts and for your fudge. But we're doing just fine.
I'm very sorry to bother you. Please forgive me.
Elizabeth runs out and heads back through the open door to her apartment. Tom wipes his brow, then walks slowly across the room and closes the front door. Carrying his drink, he passes through the cozily furnished living room and flicks off the light. As he enters the master bedroom, he drags his feet and sets his drink on the bureau. Reaching inside his suit coat, he pulls out his wallet. His eyes droop sadly as he stares around the room. Tom sinks into a chair and rests his arms on his knees. A door opens and Eddie walks in. Dressed in pajamas, the button-nosed little boy fixes his gaze on his father. Tom stares ahead distantly.
I know, Dad. I know how much you miss Mommy.
Tom stares at Eddie. His mouth tightens, then quivers, and Eddie runs into his father's arms. As they pull into a tight hug, Tom's eyes brim with tears.
I'm glad you know, Eddie. Something that we know about each other, isn't it?
Eddie nods.
Of course, we miss Mommy. And very much. And we will for a long time.
How long does it take, Dad?
Well, let me put it this way, Eddie. No matter how long it takes, we're going to be all right. Just as long as I can tell you everything that I feel. And you can tell me.
Everything?
Everything.
Always?
Always? I tell you what, let's you and I have a sort of a secret pact just between us.
Okay, Dad.
Signs blaze on a busy street. Tom and Eddie exit a movie theater and head along the sidewalk.
You know what I think, Dad?
Hmm?
I think they cheat in the movies.
You do?
I think they cheat with the horses.
How do they do that?
Well, when they want the sheriff to catch the bad guy, they give the sheriff the best horse. And when they want the bad guy to get away,
they give the bad guy the best horse.
That's right, Dad. They cheat with the horses.
I see.
How did you like it, Dad?
Oh, I liked it fine.
But it didn't make you happy, did it?
Make me happy?
Yeah. What can we do to make you happy, Dad?
Look, we're going to have a real nice Chinese dinner together. That'll make us both happy.
I know. Let's have a discussion. You like discussion.
Okay.
Are you ready, Dad?
Right.
Do you ever think about getting married again?
No, Eddie, I don't.
Could you think about it now, Dad? Out loud?
All right. We'll think about it now.
First, you gotta find her, right?
Right.
And after you find her, what happens?
Well, then you ask her to marry you.
And after she gives you permission, what do you do?
Do when?
Aren't you listening, Dad?
Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie. Then you, go to a doctor.
A doctor? What do you want to do that for?
Well, you see, in some states, you have to have you pass a medical test, sort of, in order to get a marriage license.
Could you pass it, Dad?
I think so.
What if the lady wasn't so healthy? What if she don't pass? Would you be mad?
Well, let's just say I'd be very disappointed.
At an arcade, Eddie eyes a tank of turtles.
Oh, look, Dad! Look! Look at that big turtle!
Hey, how about some skee ball, Eddie? We have time.
Inside the game room, people buy souvenirs and enjoy refreshments. One man aims a toy rifle at a mini shooting gallery. Eddie spots a shapely redhead nervously clutching her handbag by a snack bar. He stops in his tracks and stares, lagging behind his father. Tom comes back and pulls his son along. They walk to a cashier's booth where Tom pulls out his wallet. Eddie's gaze returns to the redhead. He peers over a pinball-style bowling game, then turns to his father.
Dad?
Yeah?
Did you see her?
Who?
Her. Mm-hmm. The lady with the red hair.
Eddie points across the room and Tom looks at the woman. As her eyes meet his, Tom loosens his collar.
Eddie, don't point. Miss, change for a dollar, please.
Boy, she's beautiful.
Tom directs his son in the opposite direction. The red-headed woman watches the father and son, then slowly moves through the arcade toward them.
You know, this is pretty tricky.
Look, she's coming over.
Oh, now look what you've done, Eddie.
Sir. Sir?
Yes?
May I borrow your son for a few minutes?
Tom's chin drops.
I beg your pardon?
May I borrow your son for a few minutes?
Well, we were playing ball here, you know.
Just for about 10 minutes, sir.
What for?
To get my picture painted on a tie. That man over there, he does it for $3, but I'd like to send one to my father in Montana.
Well, what's borrowing my son got to do with having your picture painted on a tie?
Well, it wouldn't be so awful if I could sit there with your boy. I wouldn't be so afraid.
Afraid of what?
Mashers.
What's a masher, Dad?
Well, a masher is somebody that bothers women.
Just bothers, that's all?
Yeah. Wasn't that enough?
I thought you mean chopped them up or squashed them like a potato masher.
Tom's gaze shifts from his son to the woman.
May I, sir?
Tom blinks, then stares at the bright-eyed woman. She stares innocently back.
Eddie, we seem that you're about to be borrowed.
Oh, thank you, sir.
All right, now listen, Eddie, you stick with her while she has her picture painted on the tie over there, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right.
Eddie pulls the woman away toward a platform across the room where an artist sits at an easel. The boy waves, and Tom saunters through the arcade. Later, at the painter's booth, a group of men stare as he hands the redhead a tie. She rolls it up, starts to put it in her handbag, then smiles and hands it to Eddie.
To paint a person's whole body, but my father, if he ever saw an outfit like that.
I'll wear it to school. Man,
you will not wear it to school. They don't allow bikinis in the first grade. Sorry it didn't work out, Miss
Daly. Dolly.
Daily Dolly?
Dolly Daly. Oh, it doesn't matter. Just as long as I did it, that's what counts.
Oh, yes, that's right.
I'm supposed to do one thing every day that I'm afraid to do, but I really want to do. Here is part of my self-improvement course.
She hands Tom a flyer.
Oh, I see.
In fact, it's my first rule. Mm. Become outgoing.
Become outgoing.
Oh, it's very serious with me, sir. I've ruined my whole life by not having poise and confidence.
Oh?
I even lost out on the finals.
Finals of what?
Miss Montana.
Oh, I see.
I mean, well, physically, I could have won it hands down.
Yes, I'm quite sure you could have.
But when it came to the part where you have to get up in front of everybody and talk for 3 minutes about yourself.
Dolly puts her hand to her cheek. Tom smiles.
Look, I tell you what, suppose we buy you a drink, huh?
Thank you.
Right? Why not?
They walk over to the snack bar. Eddie slides up onto a stool.
Well, when I did get up to speak, I couldn't say one word. I just stood there. I had such a good speech, too. It was just full of funny little jokes I made up myself.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, that's too bad.
And then it came to my drum solo with the high school band. Oh, I never could face them again.
Oh, my.
A vendor approaches.
Three oranges, please.
So my father said that I could come to New York for 6 months and take this course. My father says if I got enough poise and confidence for New York, I'll be a cinch for Miss Montana next year.
Is the course working?
Oh, yes. I even made up a little joke about it. Poise meets girl. You got it.
Yes, I did.
Did I get it, Dad?
Well, you might have, yeah.
Can I have a hot dog?
No, it's too near dinner time, Eddie.
Just one?
Well.
Hey. What would your mama think if she knew you were spoiling your appetite?
Eddie's head drops sadly.
Eddie, the lady asked you a question.
Eddie looks at his father, then turns to Dolly.
Big going home for dinner anyway, because my mother died and the housekeeper's got the afternoon off.
I'm sorry you have no mother, Eddie. But, well, here's a good idea. Why don't you both come up to my apartment and I'll make you dinner?
Boy!
Italian spaghetti, how's that?
I like Chinese food better than anything.
Okay, Italian spaghetti, Chinese style.
I got a better idea. Suppose Eddie and I take you to dinner, Miss Montana. I mean, Miss Daly. Huh? How about it?
Boy, is your hair pretty. Is it real?
Genuine, Eddie. Everything you see here, it's me.
Gosh.
Later, in a cab.
You know something, Dad?
What?
I think she liked us.
Well, she liked you, Eddie, that's for sure.
No, us. And you know something else? I think she's lonesome. Even with all that red hair. Are you lonely, Dad?
Sometimes.
Then why don't you come right out and ask Dolly to live with us?
There's an idea.
I bet she'd love to live with us. I bet she would. We could make her a sleep in.
No, it wouldn't work, Eddie.
Why not?
Oh, why not? For one thing, Mrs. Livingston would have a fit. See, Mrs. Livingston does not like floozies.
Floozies?
Mm.
Is Dolly a floozy?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so at all.
Then why can't she live with us?
Eddie, you don't ask a woman to live with you unless you marry her.
Well, you could do that later.
You know, Eddie, I loved your mother very much, and I still do. And I don't think I'd like to have anybody try to take her place. Not just yet.
Oh. Well, if you can't marry her, maybe we can find somebody who can.
Well, I don't think she wants a husband. I think she just wants somebody to help her.
Well, maybe we could get somebody to help her.
I'll think about it.
Tom stares off thoughtfully. Now in Norm's radio booth.
So mark that down in your appointment books at the Grand Ballroom on the 12th.
And I'm sure none of you lovely things out there will want to miss this, the biggest fashion event of the year.
And I think you ought to add, Mr. Jones, that all the proceeds go to charity.
Did you hear it, ladies and gentlemen? That lovely voice belongs to Rita Behrens. Fashion consultant for this event.
As Tom enters the control booth, four women hurry out.
If you could be sitting here as I am, facing this charming, this alluring, the earth's noblest thing, a woman perfected. And who was it that said,
her eyes shall remain as dewdrops on the petals of my memory.
Really, Miss Behrens, we ought to get together and go over the ground plan for this event. How about Friday night?
Norm holds up a yes sign.
Yes. I'm sure the committee would be happy to meet with you.
The committee. Yes, well, that isn't exactly what I had in mind,
but you can't say Jones doesn't try. Well, we'll talk about it later. But first, a lovely ballad for a lovely lady.
Norm cues a man in the sound booth, then stands to go.
I'll be right back, honey. Don't go away.
Tom looks at Rita. The elegant brunette wears a tweed suit with a mink collar and white gloves. She swivels in her chair and gazes back.
Greetings, Captain. What's this frantic note I got that you wanted to
see?
That
can wait. Norman, you gotta stop making dates on the air.
It's illegal?
Well, the FCC can come along and
take us. The FCC?
Yes.
Are you sick? Huh, you're sick. You ought to form an organization like AA, Womanix Anonymous.
Look, I'm just trying to...
You're trying to get thee to a monastery. Well, I'm not ready yet. I'm not going to give up my life as I know it.
Well, keep your life off the air, will you?
All right. All right. You want me to leave the girls alone? I'll leave the girls alone.
All right.
Now, what do you want to see me about?
Tom shifts awkwardly on his feet.
Well, I wanted to ask a favor of you.
Mr. Corbett?
Yes?
A receptionist stands by the door.
Your appointment's here, sir.
Where is she?
She's in your office.
Would you bring her down here?
Yes, sir.
Norm, there's somebody I'd like you to meet. Interview.
Who is it?
Well, it's a woman.
Whistler's mother, Queen Victoria?
Well, it just so happens that this is a very fine young girl.
Why, Captain, is it possible you're human after all?
Oh, come on. Quit clowning, will you, Norm? I thought you might fit her into one of your programs. You know, sort of put her on tape, listen to her, kind of give her advice, sort of, build her up.
Build her?
Yeah, you see, she what she needs is self-confidence. And she has this funny complex that she has
Why
no poise.
Sly old fox. Where'd you meet her?
Oh, I met her at...
I met her through a friend of mine.
What's her name?
Dolly Daly.
Dolly Daly. I like that. It's sort of like Dilly Dolly.
Well, it just so happens that Daly is a very respectable name in the state of Montana. And Dolly is a very respectable young girl. She's a very unassuming girl, and she's very sweet, and she's very simple.
Why, of course. Well, you know me. Anything for the boss.
The receptionist shows Dolly in.
Oh, come in, Dilly.
Norm lights a cigarette, then gapes at the shapely redhead. Wearing a peach skirt and low-neck tank, Dolly grins innocently at the two men.
Miss Daly, this is Norman Jones.
And this? Don't tell me this is Dolly Daly.
Why, yes.
Not one of the Montana Dalys.
Not one of the real ones.
Oh?
Not related to old Marcus Daly.
See, and how old is old Marcus now?
Oh, he's dead. He died in 1863.
Sorry to hear that.
I was just telling Norm here that he might
and help. I'd be delighted to help Miss Daly. Delighted. Why, we think the world of old Tom around here, and any friend of Tom's is bound to be in front of us. Look, I'll tell you what, we'll all get together Friday night and kick it around.
Yes, couldn't we just...
We'll talk it over. I'm expecting to take out Miss Rita Behrens, as you know, and we'll all go together.
Friday? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my night for bowling.
Bowling. Good, swell, that's my game, bowling. Keeps those old muscles in shape,
huh,
Tom?
It's
all settled on Friday. See you then.
Norm,
As Norm leaves, Tom turns nervously to Dolly.
Bowling.
Meanwhile, in the radio booth...
Well, how's about for Friday night?
I'm busy. Who's that?
Oh, you mean the girl with the red hair?
No, I mean the man with the interesting smile.
Program manager, he runs a joint.
Does have a look about him.
That happens to be the look of a fresh widower. And we could have been double dating with him Friday night.
As Norm steps away, Rita looks slyly in Tom's direction. Later, at home, Tom wears a robe and pajamas. He flips on a reading lamp and settles into an armchair. Squirming a little on the cushion, he pulls out a small television remote from underneath him. He hesitates a moment, then pushes a button on the handheld control. The TV screen flickers on, showing Clark Gable and Grace Kelly in Mogambo. Wearing khaki safari suits, the two actors face each other on a rock overlooking a waterfall. Gable pulls Kelly into a passionate kiss, then they gaze longingly into each other's eyes. Tom stares at the screen, tight-lipped. As Kelly kisses Gable again, Tom watches intently, working his own lips. Eddie's bedroom door opens and the little boy falters out, his shoulders hunched. He shivers as he stands barefoot in his pajamas and stares at his father. Tom's eyes stay glued to the TV as Kelly presses her cheek into Gable's shoulder.
Dad?
Eddie, I thought you'd be asleep by now.
I feel real terrible, Dad. I'm shivering and my teeth are hitting each other.
Tom lifts Eddie into his arms and carries him back into the boy's bedroom. He lays Eddie down and tucks him in snugly.
You stick the covers over and keep warm, right?
Hot. I'm hot.
I'll be right back.
Tom gives Eddie a gentle pat, then returns to the living room. Walking over to a hutch, he pulls a phone directory from a drawer, then brings it over to the armchair. Tom sits down and flips through its pages. He runs his finger down one page, then stops and looks up. His head wheels around suddenly, and he looks toward the front door. Tom sets the phone book on the ottoman in front of him, then opens the front door and walks across the hallway to Elizabeth's apartment.
Who is it? It's Tom Corbett.
Sleepy-eyed, Elizabeth opens the door, holding up a robe to her chin.
Look, I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I hate to bother you, but it's Eddie. He's sick. I think he's real sick. And I don't know whether I should...
Elizabeth pulls on a robe and dashes past Tom. In Eddie's bedroom, she feels the boy's head.
Any vomiting?
No.
Diarrhea?
I don't think so, no.
Do you have a thermometer?
Yes.
Eddie, turn over on your tummy. That's it.
Don't worry, I won't hurt you.
She pulls back Eddie's covers and Tom hands her the thermometer.
What else can I... Can I boil some water or something?
Tom, he's not going to have a baby. Well, get me some rubbing alcohol, please.
That all?
No, go to bed and stop worrying.
Reaching under the covers, Elizabeth inserts the thermometer. She sits next to the bed and checks her watch. Tom returns with some towels and a bottle of rubbing alcohol, which he holds out to her.
Here.
Over there. Tom, go to bed, please.
She waves Tom off. He looks nervously at Eddie, tucks the boy in, and leaves the room.
Elizabeth? Yes, Eddie? You have your uniform on.
Well, we'll try and get you well without it.
She ruffles Eddie's hair lightly with her fingers. In the master bedroom, Tom paces and puts his hands in his robe pockets. He faces the dresser, where his gaze lingers on a framed family portrait. He picks up the photo and stares at it tenderly, then sets it back down. Morning. Dressed in a cardigan and trousers, Tom carries a tray of food from the kitchen. He looks up and smiles as he sees Elizabeth leaving Eddie's room. She pulls the door shut softly behind her, then yawns as she walks sleepily into the living room. Her tousled bangs fall raggedly across her forehead.
Well, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
I thought you might need a little refueling.
I'd love some.
She pads slowly over to the dining room. Tom sets down the tray and pulls out a chair for her.
Sleep well?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm very ashamed to say I did. Thanks to you. How's the patient?
Oh, touch of flu, 24-hour variety. He'll bounce back fast.
Good.
You know, he's quite a boy, that Eddie.
Mm.
He let me in on a great medical secret.
Oh, what was that?
He told me that brave boys don't bleed much when they're hurt.
Oh?
No matter how big the cut is, they hold their blood in.
Oh, Elizabeth, I don't know how to thank you for everything, really.
There's nothing to thank me for. I enjoyed taking care of you.
Tom takes a coffee pot from a sideboard.
You know, I want to pay you something.
Elizabeth's head drops. She stares into her breakfast as Tom pours coffee into his cup.
After all, you stayed here all night. You lost a whole night's sleep.
He holds the pot over her cup.
Here, have some more coffee.
I have known Eddie ever since he was born.
Elizabeth.
I'm supposed to be his friend.
Yes, I know that.
When a friend of mine needs me, I've been known to help without expecting to be paid.
All right, so I made a mistake. I was just trying to show my gratitude.
And keep everything as impersonal as possible? So much an hour, is that the idea?
Look, you don't have to get so touchy when I'm...
Touchy? I'm touchy. You couldn't for a moment be in my debt. Oh, no. You think that every woman that walks through that door wants to make it a permanent visit.
All right, so you did me a favor. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Not on your life. Even the volunteer services of a volunteer nurse are worth something. You'll have my bill by the seat.
As Elizabeth runs out, Tom stares after her, perplexed and shrugs. In the kitchen doorway behind him, Mrs. Livingston steps into view with some groceries.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As the housekeeper stares at him, Tom treads slowly around the dining room table, then peeks into Eddie's room. On the bed, Eddie lies awake.
Dad?
Well, now.
Why don't you like Elizabeth?
Well, how are we doing, Eddie-o?
You were talking loud out there.
I'm sorry.
Is there something about her looks you don't like?
No.
I think she looks swell. It couldn't be her eyes.
Her eyes?
They're not all skinny. You know, like those ladies in the comic books who are no good. They always got skinny eyes.
Skinny eyes. Anything else?
Well, there's one other thing, but it's about sex.
Go ahead. I can stand it.
Well, the bad ladies, they always got big busts. Now, don't get mad, Dad, but it's true. Very big. Skinny eyes and big busts is how you tell a bad lady from a good one.
Aren't any good ladies in all that stuff you read?
Oh, sure. But they always got medium-sized busts. And round eyes, of course.
Well, I'll keep that in mind. No matter how I feel about Elizabeth, I'm very glad you've been in the hands of a round-eyed girl.
Mommy. She had round eyes.
Tom smiles gently.
Yes, I know.
I can still remember that day they took her to the hospital. I guess I better not talk about it.
No. No, go ahead if you want to.
Remember, Dad? They brought that bed with the wheels in here, and they put her on it. She was smiling, but she didn't look so good. And you know what she said to me?
What did she say, Eddie?
She called me over to her. And she told me to be a good boy and to take care of you. Did you know that, Dad? I never told nobody before. Then they wheeled her out in the hall. I didn't think that bed could get in the elevator, but it did. Do you think Mommy knew she wasn't coming back?
I don't know.
Where is she, Dad? Right now?
Eddie, she's right smack dab in the middle of heaven.
Do you think she remembers me?
I'm sure she does.
Eddie shifts in bed and stares skyward. Now, at a bowling alley, a ball rolls down a lane and hits two standing pins. Dolly grins as Norm watches and claps.
Bravo! How do we stand?
Now, let's see. That makes 200 for me.
And what am I? Still, nothing?
Mr. Jones, are you sure bowling is your game?
Well, we athletes all have our off nights, you know. You can't pitch a no-hit game every time. Must be that old army wound of mine acting up.
Would you mind, Mr. Jones, if I show you what I think you're doing wrong?
Well, you just go right ahead and show me.
All right, well, stand behind this line.
Behind the line, right.
Right.
I got
That's it.
It. There we are.
Now, oh, don't take such a big swing.
Oh?
Just easy, easy.
Easy.
Yeah.
I see.
All right, now move straight forward.
Forward.
From the hips.
Norm eyes Dolly's wagging hips.
See where my hips are?
Oh, I do. I do.
Well, move like that, and don't let your body get out of control.
Aye.
Watch me and do everything I do.
Okay.
As Dolly steps forward, swinging her arm low, Norm imitates. He releases his ball, which knocks down all 10 pins.
Hey!
That's it.
I'll be darned.
At a nearby table.
What does a fashion consultant do?
Well, you might say that she forces her own peculiar tastes upon women who have absolutely none at all. Sounds like a racket for snobs, but there's really a lot of hard work involved.
The efficient, self-possessed American career woman.
Oh, no. No, never. I've seen too many Rosalind Russell pictures for that. No, I'm going to marry him just as soon as he asks me.
Who's he?
The man who'll love me on equal terms. That old saying, behind every man there's a woman. Well, that's not for me. I want to stand right alongside. Is that asking too much?
Well, now I'm afraid you're going to have to be satisfied with the vote right now. I don't think that that'll ever become a national movement.
Back with Dolly.
You have rules?
Oh, there are 8 rules in the course altogether. The 8 golden rules to poise and self-confidence.
What's number 2?
Number 2, stand straight, hold your head high, and breathe deeply.
Her pert chest rises.
I like that. Number 2.
Number 3, show your enthusiasm.
Oh, by all means.
And number 4, give yourself to others.
Hey, there.
They're insecure, too. Number five?
If you'll, pardon my saying so, I think the guy that wrote these rules ought to be arrested.
Oh, it's not a man. It's a woman. The Henrietta Rockefeller Poison Confidence School. Oh, I know. I don't think that's her real name either. Rockefeller. I just think she took that name to make people feel more confident.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it every time.
Dolly bobs her head in agreement, then takes a ball from the stand. As Norm eyes her figure, she focuses ahead, swings the ball, and releases it. She gets a strike. Later, at a jazz club, four musicians crane their necks around a pillar to see Dolly sitting with Norm. The mustached flute player heads over.
Did you ever get that 1924 pressing of the Wolverines playing the Jazz Me Blues that I sent you?
What do you mean, did I get it? I played it on the air. I interviewed you.
Yeah. What an arrangement.
As the flutist goes to sit, Dolly reaches under him.
That's my bowling ball.
Yeah, that's
as she moves
her,
it, Norm puts it back.
Ball. Look, Ricky, we don't get together nearly enough. Why don't you drop up to the program sometime, huh? Any morning at all, buddy. Always glad to see you.
Norm ushers the flutist back toward the quartet. Dolly smiles at Norm.
Oh, you just don't know how I envy you, Mr. Jones. Your self-composure, your command. Your sang-froid. Well, you just don't ever seem to suffer from feeling inadequate.
That's only a front. Don't you see? Deep down inside, I'm just as inadequate as anyone else. But you gotta have that front, kid. You gotta fake it. You can do it. You're very smart.
Oh, that's not my problem, Mr. Jones. I had the highest scholastic average of all the girls who competed for Miss Montana. When I got up in front of all those people to recite and play my drum solo.
That's just what I mean. Fake it. That's rule number one with me, boy. Fake it up. Doesn't make any difference what you do. Singing, dancing, glass blowing. You like to recite? Get up and recite. So you bomb out, nobody's gonna kill you. The point is to get in there and fake it.
Well, it's all right for you to say. You're so good at everything.
Yeah, like bowling. You got a lot to give, kid. Get up and give it. Anything. What was that other thing?
My drum solo.
Yeah. Well, even that.
Dolly rests her chin on her hand and her eyes dart fretfully. Norm looks at the quartet.
Look, we might as well start right now.
Start what?
Come on with me.
Norm pulls Dolly over to the musicians. As he leans on the piano and goes to talk to the pianist, Dolly tries to tug him away.
Hey, John, my friend would like to sit in on the drums.
Mr. Jones, please.
How about it?
She's got it, ma'am. Come on.
Oh, Mr. Jones, really, I can't.
Come on with me, right through here.
Norm leads Dolly to the drums.
How about it, Jack?
I was just leaving.
There we are. Right in.
What's the scene, miss?
Huh?
He means, what number would you like to play? Oh.
Do you know the Carnival of Venice?
It's our trademark.
Norm turns to the bassist.
Do you know Carnival of Venice?
Like the inside of my hand.
Mr. Jones!
Don't forget, Henrietta Rockefeller.
Dolly nods stiffly, her two wire brushes poised over the drums. As Dolly plays, the musicians trade awkward looks. Norm flashes Dolly a smile and an okay sign with his fingers from a nearby table, then cringes as he turns his back to the combo. Dolly bites her lip and concentrates on each beat, her eyes glancing around anxiously. Norm's eyes widen as he gets up. Huffing over to the pianist, he glares with his hands on his hips. Then turns and gapes as Dolly eases into the music. As Norm makes his way over to a table and faces the combo, the pianist turns to watch Dolly play. Norm watches Dolly's hands skillfully rattle the brushes. Behind her, the quartet's true drummer grins as he looks over her shoulder. The other musicians smile as Dolly leans into the rhythm with more and more confidence. Norm gawks. Dolly bobs her head to the beat, her eyes concentrating. Dolly springs to her feet, clutching the drum brushes. She shyly backs into the wall and eyes the room. Norm rises to his feet, slack-jawed, and stares at her. He goes to her, takes her hand, and gently kisses it. Dolly's face melts into a smile. Now at Rita's apartment, a toy poodle barks at Tom, who sits beside it. Rita brings him a drink.
So?
Well, so that's about it. All things get a little difficult sometimes, but I have Eddie.
What's more important, Eddie has you.
Yes, me and just about everybody else in the building. He runs in and out of those apartments just like he owns them. Of course, they all know he's polite and says thank you and everything. Sometimes he forgets to zip himself up.
Tom goes to sip his drink, then sets it down and moves to pick up the toy poodle instead. He frowns and puts the dog back down on the couch.
Listen, does he act that way around all your friends?
Well, it depends what they have in mind.
I see. Well, see, I gotta get going. I really should. I mean, the housekeeper's sitting up with Eddie, and I don't want to worry her.
Of course.
Tom moves to kiss Rita's cheek. He pulls back, and Rita picks up the receiver.
Hello? Oh, hello, Ronnie. No, I was out this evening. Well, why don't you call me back in the morning? Yes. What? Christmas? Well, hold the line a minute. Are you doing anything? Christmas.
Oh, Christmas, I'm taking Eddie up to my brother's place in Connecticut. A little family atmosphere.
I understand. Ronnie, I think I can make it for Christmas. Well, why don't you call me back in the morning? Yes, hold the line a minute, will you? What about New Year's?
New Year's?
I'm having a party. You want to invite him?
I accept.
Ronnie, I'll talk to you in the morning. Sorry.
It's funny. My taking you to dinner. It's like I'm going out on my first date.
Did you kiss her good night?
Twice.
Tom moves in close and kisses Rita. Now, a pair of women's feet in red felt slippers shuffle across light gray carpeting. Two little pajama legs and a pair of grungy sneakers join in. In Tom's living room, Elizabeth beats bongo drums as Eddie and Mrs. Livingston dance around. Elizabeth joins in and all three swivel their hips to the Latin beat. Wearing an ivory satin blouse and gray skirt, Elizabeth joins hands with Eddie and they spin around. As the ladies each drop into a seat, Eddie throws up a hand and stomps his little feet.
Hey! Hey!
Eddie goes to Mrs. Livingston, who sweeps him into a hug.
Well, that does it. If I don't get out of here now, I'll never get home tonight. Oh, say, honey, could you stay with Eddie for a while?
Please?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
Oh, good. Mr. Corbett will be home most any minute. And Eddie, you go to bed.
Adios.
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 Elizabeth?
Hmm?
Can't I just stay up until Dad gets here? I want to ask him something.
What?
How he made out with his date.
Elizabeth tidies up the room.
Eddie, are you anxious for your father to get married?
Sure. It'll make him happy again.
You realize, of course, that his wife would be your stepmother, not just a housekeeper.
I know. That part ain't so hot, a stepmother. She make me go to bed early, and she'd say, "My, aren't we dirty?" When she means you're dirty. Me, I mean.
You often are.
And she won't let me run through the rooms, and she'll keep the lid down to the bathroom. Sometimes when I'm racing up from the playground, I don't hardly make it in time and the lid's down.
Those aren't the best reasons I've ever heard, Eddie.
Hey, I got a great idea. If Dad got married, would he have to tell anybody?
Why would you want to keep it a secret?
Well, he could get married, and we could pretend that she took the place of Mrs. Livingston. And I'd be real nice to her and polite, and Dad could have discussions with her, and get a baby and go to the movies and all that. But we could tell everybody that she was our new housekeeper. See? Then I wouldn't have a stepmother.
Eddie, do you really think any woman would go for that?
Would you?
No.
Why not? It wouldn't be so hard. Except for maybe the baby part. How do you get babies, anyway?
She shifts in her chair.
Well...
Tom enters through the front door.
Saved in the nick of time.
Saved from what?
Babies and stepmothers. We were just getting down to the basic facts. He's all yours.
How'd you make out, Dad?
Never mind how I made out. You should be in bed, Eddie.
And so should I. Tom.
Yes?
Be honest. Be frank. All the books say so. Good night.
Good night,
Eddie.
Good night, Elizabeth.
Eddie takes off his socks as Elizabeth leaves. Tom walks over to Eddie, who inspects his bare feet.
What was that all about?
Well, I just asked how you got babies.
Well, I think it's a little late for that. Let's go.
Eddie heads to his bedroom.
Night, Dad.
Good night, Eddie-o.
Now at Rita's, Dolly hangs a garland of letters that read, Happy New Year.
It was William the Conqueror. He ordered that New Year start on January 1st. The Egyptians had it in September.
Dolly, you never cease to amaze me.
Oh, I don't want to brag, but I did have a very high scholastic average. And yet, every time I got up to say my piece or speak, oh dear.
Do you know many pieces?
Oh, I have loads of them. Even one for New Year's.
You do?
It's just beautiful. It's called The Death of the Old Year. Full knee-deep lies the winter snow, and the winter winds are wearily sighing. Toll ye the church bells, sad and slow, and tread softly and speak low. For the old year lies a-dying.
A little grim, don't you think?
Rita, do you think Norman likes me?
Well, he seems to.
I don't know what's wrong. He does seem to, but he's never even kissed me goodnight. Is there something about me that...
Rita answers the phone.
Hello?
This is Corbett Catering. You said champagne, caviar, and something else. Now, what was that something else, ma'am?
That something else was anchovies, and don't you dare come without them.
Anchovies.
Tom
right?
drops his cufflink.
Anchovies will be, and we will be there in about one half of an hour, right?
He searches the floor by his bed, then heads to his dresser and opens a drawer. Eddie enters the bedroom with the magazine.
Dad?
Yeah?
Dad, what do the numbers mean after a lady's name?
Eddie, I am so busy right now,
It says here, 40-18-35.
Holy smoke, who's that?
Jane Mans, F-I-E-L-D.
Oh, yeah.
What do the numbers mean? Did she win? Did she beat somebody?
Well, she probably could if she wanted to. Listen, I lost my cufflink around there somewhere, Eddie. Do you mind looking for it for me?
Down there. Sure.
Maybe some of the...
Eddie hangs over the edge of the bed. As he searches, Tom looks in a mirror and puts on a bow tie. Eddie sits back up.
What do the numbers mean?
They're inches. 40's the bust.
What's the other two numbers?
Well, it's the waist and the hips.
Suppose the first one, the bust, was 20. What would happen?
Absolutely nothing, poor girl.
This lady you're going out with, where does she measure?
Tom smiles to himself.
What are you smiling for?
I was just thinking of something.
What's your favorite inches on a lady, Dad?
Oh, I'd say 36.
36, 36, 36?
Oh, come on now. Use your head, Eddie. If it was 36, 36, 36, she'd be straight up and down, wouldn't she?
How many inches should she dent in?
Well, I never counted. I mean, you make a woman sound like a dented fender or something.
Eddie watches his father put on a tuxedo jacket. As Tom walks out of the room, putting a handkerchief in his breast pocket, Eddie scoots off the bed. In the living room, Mrs. Livingston hands Tom a white scarf.
Thank you.
Will you let me know, Dad?
What?
About the lady's inches tonight. I'd be very interested.
Look, I don't walk around carrying a tape measure, Eddie.
We got one right in the house. Wait a minute.
No, never mind. I'll guess.
Tape measure? For what?
For the lady.
Look, never mind, Mrs. Livingston. It's all right.
Now you have a good time.
Thank you.
You'll let me know in the morning?
Absolutely not. You grow up and get your own girl.
Tom starts out the door.
Dad!
Look, I'm very late.
Happy New Year, Dad.
Tom stands by the open door and gives Eddie a wide smile.
Happy New Year, Eddie.
As Tom leaves, Eddie looks after him with a fond grin. Now, Rita's apartment teems with elegantly dressed men and women wearing party hats. Tom searches through the crowd as people throw handfuls of confetti. Rita runs up to him and they hug. Dolly and Norm sit together separate from the crowd. Norm watches her with fixed interest.
And now his foe, speaking of him, he was a friend to me. Old year, you shall not die. We did so laugh and cry with you. I've half a mind to die with you, old year, if you must die.
Norm leans in close and presses his lips to hers. Slowly, their arms wrap around each other's shoulders, gliding into an embrace. Later, Tom stands in an elevator. As the doors slide open, he spots Elizabeth standing in the hall with a man.
So funny!
Well, good night, Elizabeth.
Good night, Charlie.
And thanks again.
Tom passes the man in the hall and approaches Elizabeth.
Well, sounds like you had a pretty good time.
Oh, yes, yes. We had a lovely... It was a million laughs.
Mm.
Her smile fades.
Would you like a small sample of tonight's humor?
Yes. What?
Well, at the nightclub, the Maitre d' asked us if we'd like to sit down front.
Right, well...
Charlie to Maitre d'. I'm sorry, sir. We don't bend that way.
No. Oh, no. And all evening?
No. The rest of the evening was taken up with the notochord, the ectoderm, the esoderm, and the mesoderm. He specializes in rare diseases of the bone.
Oh, what fun.
You wouldn't think so if you had to listen to bone jokes all night. And I think I intend to drink myself to sleep.
Can I help? I have some pretty good brandy in there.
I'd love some.
Tom waves her over to his apartment door and unlocks it. He peeks in, then cautions Elizabeth by putting a finger to his lips. He lets her enter first.
¿Da también al patio?
No. Da a la calle.
As Elizabeth tiptoes in, Tom sets down his overcoat. On the couch, Mrs. Livingston lies asleep with a blanket over her. Her record player sits on a nearby chair. Tom and Elizabeth share a smile. Tom throws his hands up in the air and removes the needle from the record.
That's your Spanish lesson.
I know you don't. Tom is very...
Tom carefully opens the liquor cabinet and gets out two brandy snifters and a crystal decanter. As Elizabeth takes off her coat, they tiptoe into the dining room. Tom gently sets the glasses on the table. Elizabeth sits on a small writing surface that lies flat on the arm of a wooden chair.
I'm glad I don't get this way very often.
How long has it been since the divorce?
A year. Oh, it wasn't so bad. It's the same old story, I guess. We were very young. No fatal damage.
Yeah, but a few scars.
I'm still young. They'll heal.
Tom hands her a glass of brandy, then pours one for himself.
I I take it that the bone doctor's not in the running.
Well, he is very fond of my pectoral girdle.
Well, good for him. That's very good, you know, because I've been quite fond of it myself for quite some time.
They smile at each other warmly. Tom's eyes crinkle at the corners as he grins. Elizabeth lifts her glass in a toast.
Happy New Year, Tom.
He steps closer to her, leans over, and kisses her softly on the lips. On the couch, Mrs. Livingston watches them with a wide grin. Tom touches his glass to Elizabeth's.
Happier New Year for both of us.
He raises his glass, and they both take a sip of their brandy. Now at a restaurant, Rita wears a fur hat and muff. She approaches a maitre d' who uses a red phone. He hangs up the receiver, then faces a waiter.
Table 23.
He sees Rita.
Oh, good afternoon, Miss Behrens.
Edmund, has Mr. Corbett arrived yet?
At a table, Eddie and Tom sit wearing suits. Tom motions for Eddie to tuck his tie into his jacket. They stand as Rita approaches.
I hope I haven't kept you waiting.
No, of course not. Eddie, I'd like you to meet Miss Behrens. This is Eddie.
How you do?
I'm so glad to meet you. I've heard a lot about you.
They shake hands.
It's a charming job.
Eddie pulls out a chair for Rita.
Thank you.
Rita grins at Tom, then at Eddie as he sits, hands folded.
Lovely manners.
Well, I won't pretend that he hasn't been coached a bit.
Tom.
Yes, Miss Fowles.
Thank you.
A waiter brings drinks for the adults. Rita smiles down at Eddie.
Well, this is a very special occasion, our first meeting.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we were just talking about Eddie. He's going to have a birthday. And we're going to have a party.
Oh, how wonderful.
Her eyes squint as she grins broadly at him. Eddie stares at her.
You know, every time the year goes by, we always have a party for Eddie. Every year, Eddie has a...
Eddie squints at his father.
Has a birthday party. And the house just gets jammed with kids. Doesn't
Tom
it,
kicks
Eddie?
Eddie's foot under the table.
Yes, it certainly does get crowded.
Is that your foot, Dad?
Hmm? Oh, I'm sorry, I am. But Eddie likes it that way, so... Why not, huh? Eddie? Eddie?
It's going to be bigger than ever. Mrs. Livingston's going to bake a great big cake, and Elizabeth said she'd bring the candy and help out like...
Rita looks at Tom.
Elizabeth?
Yes, that's our next-door neighbor.
Oh, I see. May I come to your party, Eddie?
Well?
I'd like to help out, too.
Eddie looks at his father, who sternly folds his arms.
Okay, if you want to.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me.
Eddie gets up, walks around the table to Tom's seat, and whispers in his ear.
Oh, pardon us a minute, will you please?
Of course.
Rita grins, and Tom ushers Eddie to a red carpeted stairwell.
That's right up those steps there to the left. Eddie, what's the matter with you?
Nothing.
Well, I don't like the way you're behaving. Now, when you come back, will you please try to smile and act like you're enjoying yourself?
Sure, Dad. I'll try.
Good boy.
As Eddie walks up the steps, Tom turns away and shakes his head. He returns to Rita at the table.
Oh, he's just wonderful, Tom. He's delightful.
Well, I have known him to give warmer receptions to people, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, after all, I have taken you away from him for several evenings now. He's probably just a little jealous.
Oh, I suppose so.
Rita smiles reassuringly.
We're going to get along just fine.
Later, at Eddie's birthday party, the boy wears a monkey picture pinned to his back as he faces a girl. As Elizabeth pins animal signs on kids' backs, a blonde girl points a toy machine gun at a boy's head. She aims at Tom, who shows some boys a train set.
Jane, you never point a gun at anybody ever. Kelly, out of the fish. No, we don't play with the fish, Kelly. Use it right there, Kelly. We never... What? What is it?
Do I clap?
Do you what?
She's got an elephant picture.
No,
out. You don't have the notes.
The train derails.
I told you, see what happened when you made it go. Kelly, I told you to stay out of the fish. Mike, is this your brother?
Yes.
Will you please take care of him?
In the living room, a dozen kids surround Elizabeth.
And your front legs are shorter than your back. Hello? Hello? I'm sorry, I can't hear.
She takes the phone into the kitchen.
I'm sorry, it's difficult to hear. What? This is Elizabeth Martin.
Oh, Elizabeth. Yes, Tom's mentioned you. This is Rita Behrens. I wonder, could I speak to Tom, please?
Oh. Miss Behrens. Yes, of course. Hold on.
Mrs. Livingston stares after Elizabeth as she hails Tom from across the living room.
Tom! Oh, Tom! Tom! You want it on the phone?
Oh, who is it?
Miss Behrens.
Mrs. Livingston frowns as Tom picks up the phone.
Hello? This is very noisy here. Where are you?
At home. You'll never guess what's happened. It's Norm and Dolly. They're engaged. They're actually engaged.
Is that Tom?
Yes. I was just leaving for the party when they arrived with the news.
Look, it can't be that noisy here. I don't think I heard you right.
Really, Tom? They...
Here, let me. Hail Cupid and come on over. Sure we are. Right here next month and then off to Montana for the honeymoon. Well, look, if you can't make it now, how about tonight?
Well, I was supposed to take Eddie to a birthday dinner tonight,
Mrs. Livingston slams down a tray.
Let me handle it.
Look, don't let us down, buddy.
Tom?
But I can't foul up an engagement party, especially when I'm responsible.
The housekeeper brusquely pours nuts in a bowl.
Look, I tell you what, I'll be there. I'll pick you up. Right? Right. Mrs. Livingston,
I'm busy.
I mean, it's just for tonight, Mrs. Livingston.
I'm busy.
She turns her back to him and wipes the counter. Tom gives her a perplexed look and walks into the living room.
Hey, Dad, Richard found out he was a zebra by looking in the bathroom mirror. Does it count?
No, absolutely not. Say, Elizabeth, what's eating Mrs. Livingston? I mean, the kid's getting her down, or what is it?
Seems all right to me.
She almost bit my head off. All I said was, would you help me out tonight?
Tonight?
Yeah. You know, I had to take Eddie to dinner. Something came up.
Oh.
I can't make it.
I see.
See, I was just thinking, maybe you could...
I'm busy.
Well, I mean, all you'd have to do is if you just...
I'm busy.
Elizabeth, somebody said I'd bite. Could you give me a big hug?
Well, it takes one to know one. Ask him.
Somebody said I'd bite. Could you give me a big hug?
Yeah, let's take a look.
Tom looks at the boy's back. It's a picture of a rat.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, Dad, they're gone now. Everyone.
I'll never be the same, Eddie.
You were cool, Dad. All the kids said so. Boy, I had a wonderful, wonderful birthday.
Oh, that's good. That's real good.
Everyone came. Everyone I invited.
Yeah, you sure did, didn't I?
And the house was nice and noisy for a change, wasn't it, Dad?
Yeah, for a change it was.
It'll be so quiet tonight. I'm glad we're going out for dinner.
Eddie.
Yeah?
He looks at his son's smiling face.
I'm glad, too. Happy birthday, Eddie.
Can Elizabeth come?
Nope. You, me, us. Elizabeth, she's busy.
Tom holds Eddie close. Now Dolly and Norm pose behind a wedding cake.
Okay, everybody hold it.
A photographer takes their picture.
Hey, where am I?
Let me wish you every happiness, my dear.
Eddie watches his father nuzzle Rita.
Congratulations, my boy.
Thank you.
Oh, congratulations, Rita. You're the most lovely bride.
Hey, Dolly, you know, you'll never be Miss Montana now.
Well, I don't have to be anymore. That's rule 8.
Hey?
Fall in love, and love will make you brave.
Dolly and Norm kiss, then Dolly sees Eddie.
Eddie, my very, very first boyfriend.
I brought you something.
Oh, you did?
Open it.
For me? Well, what is it?
She unwraps a ball of tissue paper and holds up her hand-painted tie.
Yeah, nice.
I thought you'd like it now for your husband.
Gee, it's swell, Eddie. It's just beautiful. Shall I put it on now?
Yeah.
Why not?
The very first piece of cake goes to Eddie.
Thank you.
And then...
Thank you, darling. And thank you, Mr. Corbett. Thanks for everything.
Oh,
Tom hugs her.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold it.
Congratulations.
As beaming guests flock around the newlyweds, Tom pulls away. He notices Eddie slumped in a chair, resting his head on his hand. Tom makes his way over to him and smiles.
Well, how's the cake?
I don't want any. I think I'm sick.
Sick?
Yeah. Let's go home, Dad.
We plan to have dinner with Rita in Central Park.
I don't feel good.
Tom pulls up a chair, leans in close to Eddie, and wags a finger at him.
All right, now. Let's have it out right now. What is there that bothers you about Rita? Now, so help me, if you say she's got skinny eyes, I'll clobber you.
But she has, Dad.
I don't care. She's got polka dot eyes. There's no reason not to like her.
I'm trying.
Well, stop trying and just like her. You understand?
Tom stares sternly at Eddie's frowning face, then walks over to Rita.
Something wrong with Eddie?
Well, I'm afraid he's not feeling very well, Rita.
What a shame. I'm sorry.
Rita stares blankly at Eddie. Tom puts on a smile.
Well, you know how it is with kids. And these things come on real quickly. But I'm afraid that we're going to have to cancel our dinner date.
Yes, you'd better. He's not feeling well.
Yes, really ought to take him home right now. And you understand, though, don't you?
I understand.
She eyes Eddie coldly. Behind them, a group of women crowd together, and Rita catches Dolly's bouquet.
How about that, huh? The new bride.
Shall you meet us in Montana or wait for us here, huh? How about that, Captain? You're next.
Tom sees Eddie sitting sadly by. Later, at the apartment, Mrs. Livingston and Tom pack a suitcase.
Does he have to take all this stuff? I thought we had to stick to the list the camp sent us here.
That's exactly what we have, Mr. Corbett.
It says 7 blouses or 7 shirts.
He pulls a little pair of grungy sneakers from the suitcase.
Oh, no. He can't take these, no. We got to get rid of these once and for all.
Mr. Corbett, without those, you know good and well he couldn't walk.
It says 7 socks here.
She counts out pairs.
Una, dos, tres, cuatro.
Now at Elizabeth's.
Hi. I'm going. Did you fix it?
Did I fix it? I certainly did.
She holds out a sweatshirt with a W emblem on the front.
There. What do you think?
Boy, is that neato. How'd you sew it on there?
Oh, it wasn't too difficult.
Can I put it on now?
Sure.
Eagerly taking the sweatshirt from her, Eddie goes to a mirror. Elizabeth follows him and helps him pull the sweatshirt over his head. Eddie grins at his reflection.
There. They're gonna think you're one of the counselors.
Gosh, it's great. Like I'm really out of school now.
Well, you told me you liked school.
At the beginning is all. They're real nice to you at the beginning, because they don't want you to hate school right off. But after Christmas, they don't care anymore. They let you hate it.
Oh.
Will you visit camp with Dad?
Maybe. We'll see about that.
Now that I'm gone, maybe you can have discussions with Dad. You know, long ones, like Mom and Dad did when they shut the bedroom door.
We'll see about that, too.
Hey, y'all.
Coming, Dad!
Goodbye, Elizabeth.
Goodbye, Eddie. Have a good time.
They hug, and Eddie rushes off. In the hall, Tom sets a suitcase by the elevator.
Hey, Eddie! The bus is here. Come on.
Don't forget your fish, Eddie.
Mrs. Livingston gives him a glass jar.
Here you are.
Thanks.
Take care of yourself. Adios, muchacho.
Bye. Adios.
Yeah.
Have a good time.
Right.
Bye. Bye.
Mrs. Livingston steps down the hall to the apartment. Stopping in the doorway, she looks brightly at Elizabeth.
That boy sure is crazy about you, isn't he?
Pretty crazy about him, too.
It's a shame you and Mr. Corbett get on each other's nerves so much.
Mr. Corbett doesn't get on my nerves. We get along just fine. I don't know where you ever got that idea. I mean, we might have our little differences now and then.
Don't wait too long, honey.
What?
I got a feeling that man's on the verge.
Mr. Corbett is free to verge whichever way he wants to.
Okay, honey, but don't say I didn't tell you. And it won't be long, either.
She shuts the door. Elizabeth stares after her, then toward the elevator. Now, crystal chandeliers hang over a dance floor. As several stylishly dressed couples glide around, Tom and Rita spin into view. Rita tosses her head back in laughter. Now, in the jazz club, where Norm's musician friends perform, Rita and Tom dance cheek to cheek. Other casually dressed couples do a lively swing step behind the piano and near the bar. Other patrons chat at small round tables. In a glassed-in ballroom, Tom and Rita dance slowly. Tom wears a tuxedo and Rita wears a red spaghetti strap dress. As they turn, Tom caresses Rita's bare shoulder and she nuzzles against his cheek. Daytime, Tom and Rita drive past a kid's baseball game in a long black Chrysler convertible. Dust billows up from the dirt road as Tom parks the car near the field. He gets out and jogs around to Rita's door.
Getty's up to bat.
Oh, well, why don't you go on ahead?
Tom rushes toward the crowd surrounding the field. As he sidles along, craning to see over their heads, Eddie waves to him from home plate.
Hi, Dad!
Hi, Eddie.
Eddie faces the pitcher and readies to swing. The pitcher throws the ball and Eddie hits it. A boy playing second base ducks as the ball lands just behind him. As Eddie runs past, a counselor pleads with the ducking boy near second base. Eddie slides into home plate. Grinning, Eddie gets to his feet and waves at his father, who proudly waves back. As Rita approaches, carrying her toy poodle, Eddie's smile fades. Later, Eddie and Tom approach an airy, rustic cabin in the woods.
Let's see now. We can check off the volleyball and the water polo and the relay races.
You don't mind missing the girls' archery, do you, Dad?
Oh, no. I'm sure Rita will give us a full report on that.
Hi, Mike. This is Mike. My roommate.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. The blonde boy dashes off.
This is where I sit.
Wearing his camp sweatshirt and carrying his red baseball helmet, Eddie opens the door for his father. Tom finds an identical sweatshirt and helmet cluttering a small table. As he moves the items to a bunk bed, Eddie takes off the sweatshirt he's wearing and drops it on the table beside his discarded helmet. Tom finds a tomahawk on the bed and wanders distractedly with it.
Dad?
Yeah?
There's something I have to tell you.
What is it, Eddie-o?
It's serious. You aren't looking at me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eddie.
Tom puts down the tomahawk and pulls up a chair next to his son. He puzzles at the sweatshirt on the table.
All right.
I was going to write you about it, but they censor the mail. Do you know what that means?
Oh, yes, I do. All right. I'm serious. I'm looking at you. I'm sure we can take care of whatever trouble there might be. I'm sure we can do something about it, Eddie.
There ain't nothing we can do, Dad.
Eddie's goldfish waggle in their jar on the windowsill.
Suppose you let me be the judge of that, huh? What seems to be the trouble?
Promise you won't tell anyone. Not anyone.
No, not a soul. This is just between you and me, right?
Dad, for the first time in my life, my whole life, I'm in love.
It's very serious, Eddie.
And she loves me, Dad.
Well, that's good. I'm glad of that.
Her name's Cherry.
Cherry, you know, it's a very pretty name.
But her real name's Cheryl Candace. Hmm? Cherry for short.
Hey, you know what you gotta do, Eddie? You gotta call her Cherry Candy.
Don't kid me, Dad.
I'm sorry. Well, she real pretty?
She's beautiful. Hmm. Well, except from behind.
Behind?
Girls aren't so pretty from behind, Dad.
Oh, well.
Tom fidgets with a snorkel.
Well, you must like her an awful lot, Eddie.
Well, I do. I ain't kidding around, Dad. I'd like to give her a present.
Oh, you would? Well, that's very nice. What'd you like to give her?
Money.
Money?
I'd like to give her money.
Oh, well, Why don't you just give her a book or...
She can't read good, and I like to give the things she likes best.
She likes money the best.
She loves money. She thinks money's terrific, honest.
Look, I'm very sorry, Eddie, but money is out. I mean, why don't you give her, something of yours, something you like very much. You know, women like that, Eddie. It pleases them.
My old sneakers.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Eddie, you're not listening to me at
but
all.
But, Dad, Sherry loves my old sneakers. She won the Junior Red Cross life-saving getting undressed underwater contest with them on. She borrowed them from me.
Eddie, that's a perfect gift.
There's one thing, Dad.
What's that?
Sherry's a little bit fat.
Oh.
But that's not important.
Oh, of course it's not important at all. I mean,
some of the kids call it fatso, but I would never call it fatso.
Yeah, well, I'm very glad, Eddie. Oops, that's us. Here we go. Let's see now. That's 3:45. That's the wood burning demonstration, I believe.
Dad?
Yeah?
Dad?
Yes? Oh, I'm sorry. What is it?
When you meet Sherry, don't look surprised, okay?
Okay.
I wouldn't want to hurt her feelings.
Oh, Eddie, you're a prince.
Tom pats Eddie's shoulder. Later, a camp counselor talks to Tom, Eddie, and Rita.
He's going to be a real great ball player if he gets more control and learns to keep that ball down.
Well, thanks a lot, Eddie.
You're sure welcome. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Eddie, I wouldn't have missed this for the world. I guess you really like baseball a lot, huh?
I like it, I guess.
Oh, like it? It's his whole life.
And your little friend, what's her name? Sherry, she must like to watch you play.
Eddie freezes. His mouth quivers as he stares at his father.
Look, I didn't say a word, son.
I say something.
No. It's... Listen, I'll be alone.
Right. Goodbye, Eddie. I had a wonderful time.
Eddie looks after Rita as she walks toward the car, patting her dog. Tom sits down at a picnic table, and Eddie turns to him with tearful eyes.
You told her.
I did not tell her.
Then how did she know?
Eddie... You were practically standing on your head all afternoon for this little girl. Now, why shouldn't she?
You mean Rita guessed?
That's exactly what I mean.
Is she a fortune teller or something? Listen, I don't like Rita, Dad. She butts in. Don't you like Elizabeth? Like, what if you marry Rita and she knows
you? Stop it. All right, now let's get this one thing straight. You're a boy and I'm a man. When you grow up, you live your life. I live my life. That's what a man's supposed to do. I'm going to tell you something, Eddie. I'm going to ask Rita to marry me. That's the way it is, Eddie.
Tom stares sternly at the boy. He takes a few steps past Eddie, who stays put with his back to the car. Tom turns and squeezes Eddie's shoulder.
Try to understand.
As Tom walks away, a pudgy girl bounds over.
Hi, Eddie. Gee, your father's nice. I like
him. Aw, shut up.
He walks away from Cherry in a daze. She stares after him, blinking back tears. Now, Rita's toy poodle scurries off a chair and onto the back of the sofa. The dog watches Tom and Rita enter the apartment in evening wear.
Oh, care for a brandy?
Right. I'll get it.
Rita saunters over to a mirror as she takes off her sheer capelet.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
I look overdanced, overtired, overfed, overhyped through summer camp. In short, I'm deliciously exhausted.
Good. And I'll take advantage of your weakened condition and come right out with it now.
Sounds ominous. Out with what?
Care to sit down?
Aren't I? Right.
She relaxes onto the sofa.
Fire one.
Well, it's only one. I don't think you're going to be very surprised. Shall I get down on one knee?
Rita's smile droops and she averts her gaze.
What's the matter? Have I botched it up? Have I picked the wrong time, the wrong place?
No, Tom, of course not. It's just that...
Well, I think there are things that we should discuss. Something that ought to be cleared up between us if we...
Go ahead.
Tom, I've always been a realist. For better or worse, I've always tried to say exactly what I think.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Then, surely you must realize, darling, that Eddie isn't exactly going to welcome me with open arms.
Tom puts down a glass of brandy.
Well, now, you were the one who said that a little bit of jealousy is perfectly normal. You just got to give him a little time, that's all.
He's had time. He's had plenty of time. And it hasn't done much good.
But he's only a child. I mean, surely you and I can look at this thing in a mature way.
Exactly. That's just what I'm trying to do.
Rita's long-nailed fingers stroke her brandy glass.
Tom, if there was some way that Eddie could go and spend a few months with your brother's family, just at first.
Send Eddie away.
Not forever, darling. Just to give us a chance to get our lives started together. That's all I'm asking.
Tom's brow creases and he looks down at his hands. Rita frowns and sets her glass on the coffee table.
Can you think of anything else?
She steps toward a sliding glass door.
Eddie's not going to change suddenly just because we're married.
Tom starts to follow her. The toy poodle eyes him.
It would seem that Eddie isn't our only problem.
Rita glances at her dog, unamused. Tom goes to her.
Darling, we must face this now.
I know.
Rita goes to the phone and picks up.
Hello? Who's calling? Just a minute. Tom, it's the switchboard operator at your apartment. Are you here?
Yeah.
Tom takes the call.
Hello?
Mr. Corbett, thank goodness I found you. I've been trying to get you for 3 hours. That summer camp. Now, they've called here twice, and they don't want to alarm you, but it seems that Eddie is missing. They've sent out searching parties.
When was this? Have they notified? All right, call the camp. Tell them I'm leaving right now. I'll be there in a couple of hours.
Tom, what is it?
It's it.
What about Eddie? What happened?
It's Tom.
Tom!
Tom hurries out of Rita's apartment. Later, as Tom fretfully steers his car, the road behind him appears to swerve wildly. Later still, policemen and camp counselors meet in front of Eddie's cabin.
Three cars out now. We should be hearing from them any minute.
They got a helicopter fixed up with a loudspeaker, and they're going to travel over the North Woods area.
They've called a YMCA camp, and they're forming two search parties right now.
Well, the Boy Scouts are searching the valley.
How about the lake area?
We've got men over there.
We can't start dragging the lake until morning. That might be 100 feet deep in some spots.
But Eddie can swim. But he can swim real well.
Look, Mr. Corbett, why don't we wait in the bunkhouse?
Yes, Mr. Corbett. We're doing everything that can be done.
We'll let you know if we hear anything.
I'm going to go check again with the State Highway Patrol.
All right, man, let's go.
A counselor escorts Tom into the cabin where other boys sleep.
Can I get you a cup of coffee?
No, thank you.
The counselor disappears into a back room. Tom looks at a bunk bed where a boy sleeps on the top mattress. Below, Eddie's old sneakers sit on the empty lower bunk. Tom picks them up and paces around. He stops and fingers the large jar with Eddie's goldfish in it. As he looks up, he notices Eddie's roommate, Mike, lying awake in a top bunk. The boy's eyes fix on Tom. Tom walks over to him and leans on the mattress, eye level to the boy. Tom smiles feebly.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Listen, would you tell me something?
Sure.
Did Eddie ever go into the woods alone? I mean, did you ever see him do anything sort of dangerous?
Mike awkwardly scratches his nose.
Look, I'm sure he wouldn't mind, I mean, telling me. I mean, anything to help me find Eddie?
No.
You see, you're his best friend, you know, and
and maybe he'd tell you some plans he might have had, some sort of secret, maybe, you know, something he might not have told me.
Told me a secret about something else. That wouldn't count, though.
Well, maybe it might. Please, you gotta help me, Mike. You gotta help me. You gotta tell me.
Well, he's gonna be a clarinet player when he grows up. Gonna practice secretly and surprise everybody. Tommy's gonna surprise even you.
Tom closes his eyes and his lips tighten. He pats Mike on the head.
Go to sleep, Mike.
As Tom steps away from Mike's bed, the counselor comes out of the back room.
Mr. Corbett, there's a call for you. It may be about your son. They said it's from New York, Miss Elizabeth Martin.
Tom reaches for the old-fashioned wall phone.
Hello? Elizabeth? How did you know that I...
He gapes, holding the bell-shaped receiver to his ear. Later, Tom drives back the way he came. He turns the wheel drastically as oncoming cars whip by. Now, Elizabeth paces in her apartment. As she peers down the hallway, Tom runs out of the elevator.
Where is he?
Go over to your place and I'll tell you just what happened.
Well, how did he get here?
Tom, please keep your voice down. I don't want to wake him up.
Elizabeth, what is he trying to do? Why did he come to you?
Shh, he was upset. Where are your keys? He said you were going to marry somebody and he wanted to do something about it, so he took off. Well, he hid in the back of a truck. Tom, please keep your voice down. Open the door.
Kid, what is
don't
he?
Be too rough on him. He's all right. Isn't that the main thing right now? Well, he got off the truck in Manhattan and the police picked him up. They brought him here. He was looking for me.
That's exactly what I'm...
Tom,
why
I don't want you to wake him up. He's upset and he's had a bad time.
He's had a bad time. Do you have any idea what I've been through tonight?
I know. You've been through a lot, too.
Well, thank you for those small crumbs.
Tom, you're not going to disturb him until you calm down.
Disturb him? I'm going to do a lot more
don't
than that.
Don't touch him.
Two neighbors come out in their pajamas.
Is anything wrong?
Elizabeth rushes Tom into his apartment.
All right. What do you want me to do? You want me to just let him run loose, do anything he likes, just so he crawls back to rest in your comforting arms?
That's a terrible thing to say.
Look, if he's going to come back to anybody, let him come back to me.
So you can beat him up?
Oh, yes. Haven't you heard? Yes, I beat him up all the time. It's criminal what I do to that child. I string him up by the thumbs. I put bamboo sticks underneath his fingernails. It's terrible what I do. I'm an offense to humanity.
Tom's intense gaze darts from Elizabeth to the phone. He picks up.
Hello. Oh, Rita, listen, I got there. It was quite late, and the whole thing became sort of involved. Can I call you back?
As Tom lowers the receiver, he faces Elizabeth and frowns.
Say it. My consort in criminal offense.
I never mentioned the woman.
Why, you and Eddie must have had quite a conversation. So one of those any pieces of Rita left to pick up.
I don't have to stand for this from you or anybody.
Look, as a matter of record, she has not done one single thing to make this boy dislike her. All this nonsense about this skinny eyes
her
and all.
What?
Not one single thing. And you make her out to be some character out of Dracula.
I couldn't care less about her. It's Eddie that I'm worried
about.
Look,
will you please let me think about Eddie for a change? He is my son, isn't he? Everybody knocking him back and forth, bouncing him back and forth. All is this to get to me, to get to me.
Get?
Yes.
That is without a doubt the most egotistical, sickening... The irresistible Don Juan. Lines of women climbing over children to swoon at your feet. No trick too devious. No child too small.
Oh, I can see how your marriage had to fail.
She slaps him. Elizabeth stares at Tom with a pained brow. Tom nods faintly and mopes toward his balcony. Elizabeth lets out a deep breath.
If you think I'm going to fall apart and say I'm sorry... You're out of luck.
All right, I deserved it. I'm a louse. But what is there about you that I always... You told me one time that any woman who walked into that door, I was afraid might want to make it a permanent visit. Well, you were right. You see, I always was afraid of getting involved. Afraid of perhaps being a little disloyal. But...
Tom sits, keeping his eyes on Elizabeth.
Haven't you been doing the same thing?
What do you mean?
In a different way, sort of. You never go out at all. Except with bone doctors. And you tied yourself down to a nursing career for 1 year. Why? Why? Isn't it because you're afraid of getting involved? Isn't it because you're afraid of another failure? Isn't that the truth?
Elizabeth rushes out, holding a handkerchief to her nose. Tom, still wearing his wrinkled dinner jacket, bows his head. Back in her apartment, Elizabeth drops onto the sofa. As she weeps, Eddie slowly walks into the living room in his pajamas. He watches Elizabeth wipe her nose, and she notices him.
It's me, I bet. I heard you talking loud.
Elizabeth dries her tears with the handkerchief and averts her gaze from Eddie.
You want to spank me or something?
It isn't you, Eddie.
You mean Dad made you cry? Boy, he sure is a dope sometimes.
He's not a dope. You mustn't talk that way. Your father was very worried about you, and I don't blame him.
But I told you.
Never mind what you told me. What you did was wrong, Eddie, and I'm ashamed of you.
But!
No buts. You think Chester would run out on Matt Dillon?
No, but Matt Dillon ain't marrying Rita.
But that's strictly your father's decision, and you have no right to interfere. Now, I think you should go over there and tell him you're sorry.
You want him to marry Rita?
If that's what he wants to do, and he loves her, yes.
All right, then.
Eddie starts slowly for the door.
Eddie.
Yes?
Take your bag. I don't think you should come over here anymore. At least not for a while.
Eddie gloomily makes his way over to his belongings and stuffs his sweatshirt into a green duffel bag. Elizabeth's sad eyes watch him. The boy drags the bag along the carpet by its drawstring and reaches for the doorknob. As he leaves, Elizabeth stares after him and wipes tears from her eyes. Now, in Tom's apartment, the boy's father washes his hands in the bathroom sink with his back to the door. Eddie bashfully enters the master bedroom and stops a few footsteps away from his father.
Dad?
Tom turns off the faucet and wipes his hands on a towel. As he turns around, he spots Eddie.
I'm sorry. Are you going to spank me?
Tom wearily steps over to a window and leans against the sill.
No.
Done. Don't you want to yell at me even?
Tom shakes his head and shrugs one arm.
I promise, Dad. From now on, I'll like Rita. You'll see. I'll like her a lot. I'll buy her a present and everything.
Eddie.
Eddie lets go of his duffel bag and steps closer to his father. Tom sits on the edge of the bed and looks into Eddie's eyes.
Eddie, do you know what you put me through?
Yeah.
I wonder. You know, you are the most important thing in the world to me, Eddie. If anything should ever happen to you, and if I didn't know where you were for a day, or a week, I don't know what I'd do.
I guess I didn't think.
Oh, I guess you didn't.
But I won't do it again. I won't ever leave you again, Dad. I won't even go back to camp unless you want me to. I'll stay right here with you.
You can get some sleep.
Sure.
Eddie slowly gets his bag and shuffles out of the room.
Hello? Rita, I was gonna call you,
What happened to Eddie?
Well, he ran away. He's home now.
Is he all right?
Oh, yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Don't worry about it.
Oh, good. Well, then we'll meet tomorrow for lunch.
Look, you see, I may have to take Eddie back to camp and spend the day with him.
Oh?
You see, he's very disturbed at the moment. And I think I ought to spend more time with him.
I see.
You understand?
Yes. Yes, of course, I understand. Well, we'll make it some other time then.
Good night, Rita.
Rita lies in bed wearing a lace nightie. With a sullen gaze, she hangs up the phone. Now at Tom's, Mrs. Livingston puts on a yellow straw hat adorned with plastic fruit. She checks her appearance in a mirror, then picks up a matching handbag and a pair of gloves.
Well, you're all set. Everything's clean and everything's washed up. Like the birds, Mr. Corbett, I'm heading south.
You've been a real jewel, Mrs. Livingston. I hate to see you go.
And I hate to leave. Goodbye, sweetheart. And I'll send you a postcard from South America.
Right.
In Spanish?
Sure, in Spanish.
Haven't you forgotten something?
Huh?
Your record, instant Spanish.
I was afraid you'd bring that up.
What's the matter?
They live in Brazil.
Oh.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Do you know what they speak in Brazil? Portuguese. Now they tell me. Well, I can always join the Peace Corps. Goodbye, Mr. Corbett.
Goodbye.
I'm sorry you didn't make out with that girl, but don't give up hope. And don't let your guard down. And keep a lookout for the floozies.
Right.
Eddie reaches out with both his arms, and Mrs. Livingston bends down to him. They hug tightly. As she heads for the door, she grabs a record player from off a chair and waves at Eddie and Tom.
Bye, Mrs. Livingston.
Mrs. Livingston glances back at them, then leaves. Tom sits at the table.
Dad?
Yeah?
What did she mean about not making out? Was she talking about Rita?
Yeah, I guess so.
You only saw her once last week.
Come on, Eddie, eat your lunch, huh?
Eddie sits at the table and plays with his fork.
Fact is, we're still very good friends. But
you don't love her anymore? Is it my fault?
Look, Eddie, when you fall in love with somebody, or you think you do, it's for a lot of different reasons. And then when things don't work out, a lot of reasons for that, too.
Eddie takes a drink of milk, leaving a wet mustache on his upper lip.
Dad?
Hmm?
I bet Elizabeth was one of the reasons.
Look, we're not going to start playing guessing games about it.
But we can talk about her again, can't we?
Sure. I won't do any good. She won't even speak to me.
I know. She won't speak to me either. How did she get that mad?
Oh, never mind.
If you ask her for a date, I bet she'd speak to you.
It's no use, Eddie.
Wouldn't you like to ask her for a date?
I would. I would like to very much. Oh, let's forget about it, huh?
Tom clears dishes from the table and carries them into the kitchen. As he clears Eddie's plate, Eddie's eyes shift in thought.
Dad?
Hmm?
Eddie takes his glass of milk and follows his father to the kitchen. Leaning on the breakfast table, the boy watches his father load the dishwasher.
I got an idea, Dad. Let's practice.
Practice what?
Practice asking her for a date.
Nope.
If you make it good enough, she might...
Nope.
Please, Dad, we'll make believe I'm Elizabeth and you be you.
No, Eddie.
Just ask me, that's all. I'm home, see? And I'm looking plainly out the window.
Looking how?
You know, not happy, not sad, just a plain face. And I set my cleaning lady to the movies.
Well, it sounds like you're, kind of anxious.
No, I'm not, my darling man.
Why, not so fast, Eddie. I mean, Elizabeth just wouldn't talk like that.
I talk for Elizabeth and you talk for you, okay, Dad?
Okay. What did you do today, Elizabeth?
I didn't do nothing much, my future husband.
Future husband?
What's wrong with that? If she loves you, Dad, and she does, I can tell.
Now, let's see. Where was I?
Is there anything you want to ask me, my sugar man?
Sugar? Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I like you very much.
I like you better, my handsome man.
Would you, care to have dinner with me tonight, dear?
Oh, that's good, Dad, calling me dear. That's real good.
Would you?
You bet, my excellent strong man. Just call me tonight and tomorrow night and all week.
Oh, I'm overwhelmed.
And if you want to, I'll even marry you. Just call me. I mean her. Call her right now, Dad.
Oh, wait a minute. How do I know she's home?
Oh, she's home. I made sure. Go on. Go ahead, Dad.
Eddie yanks on Tom's arm.
All right, I will.
He pushes his father into the living room and Tom picks up the phone. Tom hesitates, then hangs up.
It's region 4, 8599.
Tom picks up again and dials. Eddie watches him as he backs sneakily toward the front door. Trying to keep an eye on his father, Eddie opens the door wide, rushes across the hall, and rings Elizabeth's buzzer. Elizabeth opens the door.
Your phone's ringing.
What?
Your telephone.
She glances at the phone.
No, it's not Eddie.
She looks quizzically at Eddie.
You better pick it up. It could be important. Very important. Hurry!
Elizabeth goes to the phone. Eddie steps away from her open door into the middle of the hallway. Biting his lip, he looks in his apartment. He watches his dad, who clutches the phone cord as he talks. Eddie clasps his hands together. He peers hopefully at Elizabeth, who moves her phone from one table to the other while she talks. Eddie looks again at his father. A wide grin shows on Tom's face. The boy smiles and turns his head back toward Elizabeth. As she tosses her head back in laughter, Tom merrily shrugs one arm and smiles into the phone. Eddie grins to himself as he looks back and forth between the two adults. Titles appear: The Courtship of Eddie's Father. The End, presented by Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.